All right, so welcome to session number 3 here of the Path to Power teleclass. Much like last week, we're kind of going downhill now in that less knowledge, better put to use, equals more result. So whereas the first session, kind of a lot to cover, a little bit less last time, even less this time, but the ideas, if you use them, in my experience, are immensely valuable because they're really tools, right? And you will develop a mastery of these tools, and what you get because of them will increase over time. So, session number 3 today is, I'm calling it the power of process. So, let's start by kind of getting our frame of reference for where we are in this journey. I'll use my experience. I spent most of my life giving my power away, as I explain almost every chance I get, in an effort to help other people see if they're doing that or not. Completely oblivious to it, completely ruled by it. The next step for me was beginning to understand what I was doing, that I was doing this to myself ultimately. And I just got a glimmer of the fact that this was happening, right? So there was just the ever so brief of separations between the watcher and the watched. For most of my life, I didn't realize there was a watcher. I didn't realize there was an awareness. Like if you're sitting there in your chair right now, you're doing that, and some part of you is aware you're doing that. That part of you with that awareness, I had no idea existed. But I got a glimpse of it for just a moment and could see, oh, dude, you're doing this to yourself over and over again, giving your power away to your clients, to any authority figure that would show up in just about any form. Next step after that was the very uncomfortable journey of really seeing this at all of the levels in my life, still having little clue what to do with it and absolutely no facility or skill to address it head on. But having a much fuller understanding of the problem. And then finally, after muddling through and meeting serendipitously, you know, some very special people, I, you know, learned the tools to deal with this and then began to pull myself out of this pit, really. And that's kind of the point that we're at here in the 4 sessions. We're kind of turning the corner. We've been talking about all these things that many of us have been ruled by that are relatively unseen. And now we are going to start exerting some conscious control over some of these things. Okay? So as we do that, I'm going to recommend that we go into this kind of in a very specific state of being. And I can best describe that as willful non-resistance to what is. Okay? So I kind of chose those words very purposefully. Willful. It's not that we don't care here. I mean, I talked before about kind of the radical acceptance of what is, right? Some people might misunderstand when they hear those words that is a state of being that is passive. And I am talking about the exact opposite. It's not that you don't care, because that implies like a disconnection between you and what you're doing or what is happening in reality. And ultimately, it's a shirking of responsibility, and we talked a lot about how important that is. Willful non-resistance to what is means you are consciously choosing to accept what is and take full responsibility for it, right? I kind of hammered that in earlier session. But you are actually directing energy at that aim. So it's actually a very active type of a situation. What are we directing? Our energy, right? Oftentimes that energy comes in the form of thought. So to start off today, I'm going to talk about something that is referred to as a thought form. It's kind of self-explanatory. A thought form is structured thought, okay, in its simplest construction. So what does that mean? Well, we're all very well aware of thought forms in our reality. Take, for instance, Santa Claus, right? Doesn't really matter if there was a Saint Nick. Doesn't really matter if there might actually be some man that's hopping from rooftop to rooftop, right? What I'm talking about is the thought form that has grown up around that. So you have millions and millions of people directing structured thought, kind of with intention, at a specific aim. And over time, that thought form has grown. It's practically universal. A lot of people know a lot of details about that thought form. It elicits or creates an emotional reaction in many individuals. Some people it takes back to childhood. Other people it gives a warm, fuzzy emotion. Some people it gives a terrible emotion and reminds them of everything that's materialistic and surfacey about humanity. Doesn't really matter. The point is that this is an example of a thought form. Take your favorite scary government agency, a thought form. You cannot even deal with those people in your entire lifetime, but you can have that fear in you, or of an authority, of any type of authority, which is kind of universally accepted as valid, where a lot of energy has been pumped into that idea, so much that it's like visceral, the reaction that is created in you. Another example, Friday the 13th, in the U.S. at least, I'm not sure if there's anything like that across the world, but Friday the 13th, bad things happen, right? Very simple thought form. These are actually very powerful things. And you can either use them on purpose, or you can kind of be used by them by accident. So we're going to focus on two types of thought forms today. Number one I touched on before, and we're just going to go deeper, and I'm going to recommend that at this point in our process that you actually do this, and that is the exercise that I've mentioned created by Maxwell Maltz, author of Psycho-Cybernetics, a very non-dogmatic, very process-driven book for dealing with your image of yourself and how to manipulate that. So the first thought form that you can write down on your action list to do that we're going to work on is what he called, I think, like your mental movie, or he referred to it something like that. And just to give you an idea of what that means, I'll give you mine from years ago. And I wrote about this. Let's see. It was some report, something with the word magic in it. And if you want a copy of it, you know, send me an email and I'll send it to you. I used to give it away with the Field Report newsletter. And so I got this book years ago. He recommended 21 days. I don't remember if I did all 21 days. I certainly did quite a few. Of playing your mental movie at increasing levels of detail and dimension in your mind. In your mental movie, the content of that was your life as you wanted it to be. And so my mental movie at the time, we were living here in Arizona, I would wake up, my wife would be laying there, she'd still be sleeping. I would get up out of bed, I would go pull, I imagine them usually as like French doors, I would go pull them open and see the water. You know, we were near an ocean or a lake or something. And I would stand there for a little while, and then I would go downstairs, I would turn the coffee pot on. I have a bit of an issue with caffeine, but that's an obstacle for another lifetime. And I would enjoy drinking some coffee. I would feel what it would feel like to be in a beautiful home. I would look around at the details, check in with like what was going through my mind, like in the mental movie, in that individual, what it felt like to feel okay, that everything was going, you know, in a fine direction. And from that point, I would take the dog for a walk. Again, in my mental movie, I'd say hi to the neighbors. I'd be having a great morning. I'd come back to my office then, sit down, and get emails about people that from people that I was helping. I'd get orders. I would just imagine it all. This is years ago, so at the time, I think I was struggling through trying to figure out why in the world I was here, what I was supposed to do, and how best I was supposed to help people. But this movie had it all figured out. I didn't really know what the answers were in the movie. I just saw the result. 21 days, or over and over again, I would get in the habit of doing that. And as I explain in this report that I was talking about, call it coincidence, call it bizarre, call it luck, I don't know. At that point, remember, I was living in Arizona, so we are in no danger of falling into any big body of water. Really, you'd have to go pretty far to get to something like that. And within a few months after that, I was sitting in northern Minnesota on one of the Great Lakes. That's where I was living. I couldn't look out my window and see the water quite, but it was almost like a one-minute drive. The water. And all of that had come out of nowhere. So, again, did I make it happen? Did I influence happening? Was there no relation? Doesn't really matter, actually. The point is that we have this ability to communicate with like deeper levels of ourselves using symbols and feelings. And if you do this experiment, which it really is nothing more than that, try it. Start your movie this week. Every morning, get in that kind of grounded and centered space that we did that little meditation, for in week one or two to recenter yourself and do it and build your movie, add dimension, add feeling, add all the details and just run that thing over and over and over again and then watch. Most likely you're not going to see, things happening like the next day. So you'll have to watch for a longer period, but just begin that experiment and see what transpires. Not only is it helpful because it forces you to get clarity about, to the best of your ability at the moment, answering what it is that you do want, but it also develops the practice of you learning to direct this power of thought that you have. And you are deliberately, finally, maybe for the first time ever, certainly in my case that was the truth, you are using this thought form idea for productive uses instead of to keep you small. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thought form, now as we're kind of coming out from, deep things that we've discussed over the previous weeks, back to our mundane reality, our work with clients or customers, we are going to create thought forms in the form of processes. So if you think about it, business processes or life processes, they're nothing more than thought forms. They are stored, structured thought that you direct energy to. The more you do it, the more energy is directed, the more it grows, just like the idea of Santa Claus grows. The more energy is directed towards it, the bigger it gets. It gets stronger. It gets more fortified. It becomes more real, right? I could go as, if I wasn't in danger of you thinking I was nuts, I would make the connection between this process and actually the creation of the reality that we see. But we'll save that for another time. But in terms of business and client work and everything like that, this is the power that we have that we can consciously wield in the form of process. So, I still remember when I don't even know how I figured this out. I probably just fell into it because I was so frustrated. But for a long time, while I was doing this other work, like this is a practice. This isn't like a flip a switch and all of a sudden tomorrow you're like the perfect, powerful you. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So in the meantime, to like stay sane, I created processes that kind of took off the table for me the possibility of giving my power away. So this is going to be your homework for this time, but I'm just going to walk you through a few that I have used successfully. Before I kind of understood the nature of it, I just backed myself into a corner and came up with this. For example, I had this terrible habit of when a client or a prospective client, especially, well, both, anytime money was on the line, because for many years, like, you know, I have a lot of people to support. And when things weren't flowing for me because my clarity wasn't really there, I did stupid things for money, like basically betrayed myself, right? In the form of giving my power away constantly. So when the prospect called or the client called and said, can you do this meeting or this call or this extra project? And I knew it would interfere with either other commitments I had made, you know, out loud or implied to my family or other people I cared about, I would always cave. Terrible. Because I just didn't, I wasn't grounded enough to have any boundaries at all. So I finally just created a process, a thought form for client inquiries, right? Which I still use today. And in fact, I had such a challenge that I put everything in that process and into that, it was actually a form I made, so that someone could decide whether or not we belong working together or not. So we talked about fees, we talked about everything I didn't have the guts to say at the time. Went into the process. I talked about how I worked. I talked about what I didn't do, what I would do, all that kind of stuff. And I said, here, take it, right? So that was one process that just began to show me, huh, that's interesting. When I do that, not only do I not have to deal with it, but the more I work on that and direct energy towards it, the better it gets. I look at what happens, I fix it, I improve it. And so it becomes real. Like, it's no longer an option of, oh, sorry, wife. No, I'm going to be like 4 hours late to our dinner. Like, that's no longer an option. Before, it was a judgment call and I didn't have the guts to, you know, get on the right side of it. But when that process and that thought form began to increase in strength, and it became more fortified, it became part of my reality. That's just how things went. Same thing with phone calls. Today is Tuesday. I do phone calls on Tuesdays with rare exceptions, because I try to be flexible for other people, especially people all over the world. But generally, I talk on the phone on Tuesdays. So if you want to talk to me, that's great. It's going to be on a Tuesday, probably. And it really cuts down on the constant habit that I used to have that was pushing, you know, increasing the pressure in my own life to make someone else happy. Phone process. My communication process. Maybe this will be valuable for you, maybe it won't. It's very easy in our business to have your finger on that email button or the phone or whatever. And the minute the world shows up with some problem or whatever, you jump. That reaction, remember last time we talked about the difference between reaction being unconscious, response being conscious. If you put a communication process into your business, a structured thought form for how it's going to go, you kind of unlock the prison. You have, while you're working on fully going through every moment of every day in your power, which is the standard we're all working towards, you are also building these tools that help you. Okay. Next, for me, the client attraction process. I had this terrible habit of needing clients, doing something to get clients, getting busy with clients, being done with those clients, having no clients, needing clients, and it was this terrible thing. And there was always, it was this terrible cycle. There was always a 6-month lag between me sending out direct mail and me getting any activity. And that's a long time. My client attraction process, I have one today. What is it? I get up every day, or at some point every day and I write an email. That is the process. That is the thought form. At first, there was no energy in it. At first, there was no structure to it. It started. I directed energy to it. I added clarity about it. I got more detail. I refined it. I got better at it. And now it would feel very weird if a weekday went by and I didn't do it. But that feeds my entire family, you know. That simple thought form that is now installed. So these are kind of, it's a very simple idea. However, it involves taking conscious control of the tools that we've been given. And that is not what we're trained to do. We are trained, I mean, at some level, we know we're valuable, even though we may have issues with that, whatever. We can eventually get there. That's, yeah, I agree, at some level, I'm valuable. But then the world shows up, and we're trained to give all of our attention to that, to go through our entire reality in a reactionary stage. And so these very simple yet very powerful tools just kind of lay on the tool bench. And you can go through your whole life without this. So first homework for this week is to sit down and really flesh out your mental movie. What does it look like? This is definitely like a peeling of an onion. Just get the frame, just get the wireframe in there. Then when you come back tomorrow, add some more detail. And why is this, why is detail important? Well, I'll give you one story from, so I went to a very religious high school. Like, we would have altar calls, which is like come down and be saved kind of a situation. And I had a really good friend who one night going home from work was in like a head-on collision, right? And really, I mean, it's a miracle that he survived at all. And this was a few months before graduation. It was our senior year. And really in a bad state of affairs. And his dad came to we had a chapel service every morning. His dad came to the chapel service and, you know, was obviously quite distraught, wanted to thank everyone for the support that their family had received. And then started talking about his faith, you know, and it was a Mennonite Christian organization, talking about his faith in God to heal his son, right? And he was extremely specific that my son is going to walk across this stage come graduation. And I believe, you know, from that point to graduation, there were a lot of people with that detailed result in their mind. Like, this is prayer, right? They would pray for that result. And I have no commentary at all about that. People are free to do whatever they want to whomever they want. However, it is, again, luck, divine will, the power of thought, who know, whatever you want to call it. My friend did exactly that. Kind of the impossible, pretty much the impossible. I have no idea how it happened. What I am certain of is that his father's belief in that happening was extremely deep, extremely detailed, and extremely without doubt. And I think somewhere in there, jumbled up with a lot of other things, is the truth about how things work. And so, you know, on one hand, it's easy to go through our world feeling very powerless. On the other hand, it's not too hard to find examples in our reality of the almost limitless power of the gifts we've been given. And that's really what this is about, like actually practicing these to a level of mastery. I really consider it being a good steward of what we've been given, you know, and most of us have not even had the luxury of knowing this exists. So this mental movie allows you a productive outlet to focus these gifts on and to begin to work with them and refine them. So make yours. It's your life. Make it with every detail that you can get and keep adding detail each time you come back. Don't forget about all the dimensions of smell, of sight, of touch, of texture, you know, of sound. Like all of that can be in there. Your life as you dream it to be. And reinforce that every day and see what happens. Okay? That's homework number one. Homework number two is far simpler. Sit down, think of your top 5 to 8, maybe, trigger zones, either in client work or maybe even in your life. The stuff that keeps happening, where you're giving your power away. I mean, maybe it has something to do with fee setting. Maybe it has something to do with negotiating the terms of a project. Maybe it has something to do with the feeling you get in you when you're turning the corner with a prospect and you're going to ask them to make a decision. It could be any point. Think to, you know, the top 3 or 5 ones that happen over and over again that really drive you crazy. You know there's a better way, but you're not sure what it is. And write those out and then ask yourself, what is a process I could create? A structured way to deal with this, to completely either take it off the table or resolve it. The mental movie is private and for you. If you want to share that with me, you're certainly willing, or you're certainly able to. I'm happy to look at it. But the second part of the homework, I'd love for you to send in, and I'm great, you know, happy to give you my feedback. The top 3 to 5 places that you're giving your power away in your business or your life, what's happening, and then your suggestions or ideas for what type of a process could be installed to begin to deal with these things. So we're basically growing on two tracks here. We're doing the deep work that ultimately will take us to a fuller expression of who we are. That takes time. That's the price we pay. And then there's this other track, which is more practical tool-based, that helps us get some result in the short term. Okay? So that is today. We'll have one more session next time. If there are any questions so far about anything I've covered, now would be the time to ask. Raise your hand, hit *2 on the recording. You can also email me at support at Incomparable Expert. Let's see, Bashal, I will unmute you. Hey, Bashal, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you?
How's it going?
It's going very well. I'm looking forward to talking to you soon.
Sure.
Jason, thanks so much for the wonderful session today. I have two questions.
Yeah.
The first one is, you spoke about the mental movie. You know, I have gone through the psycho-cybernetics program, not fully, but that one exercise that you spoke about, which is you know, the mental movie, it was very, very powerful for me.
Yeah.
My question is, and I think you also wrote about it, wrote about the concept, sorry, the story that you moved to the new house where it
That's
was,
right.
I think, 2 kilometers or 2 meters away in the Just Like Magic report.
That's what it's called. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. So my question is, isn't, I mean, I'm going back to the thing that you told in the beginning of the session, that many people think that radical acceptance of what is a sense of indifference. But I mean, still it's in my mind, it is. And I'm trying to actually accept things as they are. But, you know, mental movie, isn't that opposite to radical acceptance of what is, or what am I missing here?
Yeah. Well, it is two different things, I think. And it took me a long time to kind of internally get clear on what this difference was because, and I think I mentioned my struggle about it. I forget which other week it was, but so I thought, okay, if you're supposed to be happy with now, then how am I supposed to even have a goal? Isn't even having a goal somehow implying that I'm not happy with now? And
Yeah.
so I was kind of caught in the middle there, and I think for me, the way I got alignment on this was that there, when I'm doing the mental movie, I'm dreaming much like I dream every night. You know what I mean? And
right.
The emotion is not the longing or the wanting of, right? But the emotion I'm putting into that recipe is what I'm feeling in that movie. Like, how does it feel when I imagine myself waking up beside my wife and, you know, she says, good morning. Like, that's a beautiful feeling. When I'm done with that movie, I'm coming back to what is, right? And so there is a distinct disconnection emotionally between that dreaming state and what I'm doing at the moment. Because, I mean, it's kind of the shaman woman that I always spoke with, it's a commonly accepted, I mean, I'm going to use the word magic, but you can use energy practice or whatever, that when you send out a structured thought form, if you do not sever your connection with that, there'll be a bond between you and it, and you will slowly leech all of the power that was in there. It will leak, basically, right? And so what's done was done, and it was separated. And so that's kind of how I deal with this. I have my mental movie, my life. Like, I'm not longing to be there because in the mental movie, I am there. So there is no feeling of want. I'm, like, actually living it. And so then I come back to the reality and I bring that same whole feeling even in whatever my circumstances are now. Is that clearer?
Okay. Yeah, that's clearer. So I'm doing that in order to generate the feeling in my body?
Yeah, exactly. And the power, from what I've been able to gather, again, I didn't create the universe, but I'm working to figure it out as best as I can. From what I've been able to gather, that mental movie, that setting of an intention, you are communicating with you or you, the larger being, whatever you want to say, in a way that that your subconscious is kind of equipped. Like Maxwell Maltz describes it as the subconscious is a servo motor. It's on and off, and whatever direction you give it, it just does, right? And so you don't have to go think about it. In fact, it's better that you don't. You let that happen. And that's why, you know, looking back, you can connect these dots so easily, and you never can do it looking forward. Because there's just this miraculous way that our intention, feelings, directed thought seem to interface with reality over time.
Yeah, okay.
Good?
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. I had another question. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, first of all, before I ask the question, last week I think I asked a question about how do I control my anger and stuff like that. So you told me to, you know, make that habit of that grounding exercise a habit. And I've been doing it for 7 years, and I'm seeing, and this is not just to tell you, but tell all the people on the call to inspire them. This exercise is amazing. I've been doing it for 7 days continuously, every single time. So every single time something happens to me for which I was trained in my mind to react right now, I'm just grounding myself. I'm imagining that grounding exercise, and it's giving me amazing results. I'm much less stressed out right now when things like that happen, and I'm absolutely much more in control of my own emotions. So thank you so much for teaching that. My question is, I think in one of the, it might not completely relate to today's session content completely, but you know, you speak a lot about gratitude, especially I remember in volume one, issue 11, you spoke about how you get a lot of clients with gratitude, and because it's completely related to mindset and being on the journey to path to power, you know, you say that people can, I can get clients by being gratitude, and I'm a grateful person as well, but you know, how does that really happen in a real world? I mean, how exactly does gratitude help me in get clients in a reality world?
Well, I think ultimately what the energetic state that gratitude creates in your being is one of an absence of need and one of wholeness, right? Because you can't be needy and grateful at the same time. Like, it doesn't seem to be possible, right? And this whole path to power thing that we're talking about, what we're really doing is remembering what actually is, which is that we are all whole right now, no matter of circumstances, right? And so my point is that when you go through our reality embodying that energetic pattern or that state of being, it is extremely attractive to those who aren't there. And so if you couple that way that you are carrying yourself and by extension through what you speak and what you write and how you interact with other people, and you couple that with some sort of leveraged, like the whole media platform idea, way of demonstrating that, that to me is how it works. That is the mechanics of using an energetic force like gratitude, which is attractive, because it I think it's attractive ultimately because you're reminding everyone on the outside of something they've forgotten, which is that they are whole too. And this is obviously way below like conscious thought level. And it is a very good feeling because it is truth ultimately. And so, that's the mechanics of how gratitude, quote unquote, can get you clients. Because the opposite energetic state is a repelling force.
Got it. Okay. I'm getting it now. So by being grateful, I am being reminded and I'm getting into my big self, which makes better decision than my small self. So when I make decisions from my big self, I automatically, you know, achieve more, do more, and eventually get what I want. And getting clients is one of them.
I think even deeper than that, you are practicing feeling gratitude because, number one, you are exerting control over something you do control, which is your state.
Right.
Right? And from there, you are leveraging the idea that as you are is what you like attracts like. Opposites don't attract. Like attracts like. I mean, which is sympathetic with the idea of what you send out is what you get back. I mean, this has been known for, you know, eons, that general principle. And so you are being the example, and more of that shows up for you.
Absolutely clear. Good. Thank you so much, right. Jason.
Thank you. All right. Other questions? Going once, going twice. Okay. Oh, there we go. 1 second. Okay, Cynthia. Can you hear me, Cynthia?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead. What's your question?
Okay, thank you. You just said something about, we want to attract certain clients. Uh-huh. You also mentioned something about repelling. And I'm wondering, what are we doing when we are repelling that which we think we want, if that's clear?
So give me an example.
Well, I'm thinking of some of the sales calls I've had where I have, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking maybe I'm answering my own question, but some of the sales calls I've had where the prospect has not signed on.
Okay.
Where the prospect has said no.
Okay.
I'm thinking actually maybe partly because I was needy, now that I'm actually saying this out loud. But any thoughts you have on that?
Sure. I think one place that I would look is whatever story we're telling ourselves about whether them saying yes or no means anything. So for me, when I meet somebody, and like I didn't start this way, and frankly the process to becoming this way was so gradual, I can't point to one thing I ever did or thought or changed, but that's why we're doing this over 4 sessions. I ultimately don't care, like from a very empowered, like I'm going to be me. I'm finally okay, within the realms of my humanness, was letting people know who I am and demonstrating that to the best of my ability and knowing that that is where my work ends. What they choose to do or not, that is not a commentary on me. So it's easy to say that and get that logically. It's an entirely different thing to feel it. But it's worth doing the work to get there, because when you do, my experience is they tend to say yes more often, and you're not even trying. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. Thanks.
Yeah. I would use each time that they say no and you have a reaction about it to ask yourself, what is the lesson for me here in this?
Yeah.
And to see what you get back after you ask that question.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions? Can you tell us about your morning routine first 60 minutes? Yes. It depends on how I enter my reality. So for all the work that I've done, there are some mornings when all this gunk finds me first thing. And I wake up with that churning nervous feeling that I have known pretty much all my life, right? If it is a morning like that, the first thing I will do is begin thinking to myself, I'll just say over and over, I am, I am. And I will like try to really feel what that means on many deep levels. And then I will try to think of something to be grateful for. And I will keep breathing. I will do exactly what I've talked about doing here these last couple weeks. Because honestly, this programming that we have received is extremely deep, right? And frankly, I'm not even sure if we're here on this plane to resolve it, to understand it, or simply to experience it. So the jury's still out for me on that one. What I do know is that it is here. And so my first 60 minutes in the morning are dealing with that, if it has to be dealt with, and bringing myself into kind of a more collected state. Because if I just get up and start working, that'll fix it, right? Because I'll get so distracted that will go down into the, you know, behind the scenes. But it's still there and it's still controlling me if I don't deal with it. So after that, you know, I get up and, I mean, this sounds really mundane, but like I let the dogs out and I make the coffee, right? And then I sit down in front of my computer, and I do that early in the morning because that is my creative time. And usually I wake up with a lot of things resolved that needed to be resolved before I went to bed. Dan Kennedy talks a lot about that, about kind of feeding your subconscious with some direction and it can work for you. And I've totally found that to be true. And I will then sit there with my computer closed again and get that feeling back in my core, that like whole feeling. And that moment actually is the best part of my entire day, because usually by then I can get there. And so, yeah, I mean, there are no secrets. I deal with that every day, which is why I put this all together, because if I'm dealing with it, certainly other people are. And there are ways to, you know, move through life and still be valuable and still be helpful to a lot of people. All right, Dennis, I got your request for the report. I will send that to you. Thank you very much. Let me make a note of that. Okay, other questions. When was the last time you felt fearful about quoting a fee and why? How do you overcome that? Just by saying it over and over again in front of a mirror, as Alan Weiss says, how else? I think with the fee question, the most helpful journey that I've made is to realize that the money I'm asking for has nothing to do with how much it's worth or how much I'm worth or how much the person thinks it's worth. I got stuck for a long time in like the whole perceived value. I mean, that's a cool idea and I get it. And I use it to some degree. You know, it only matters what the person who's buying believes it's worth. But ultimately, all this still kind of didn't deal with it for me. It didn't really get to the root of the issue. It was kind of like Band-Aid approach to how to deal with money. And finally, I got to the point with my fee is this, because that's what I want to do this. Period. And so what has to happen for you to be able to say that and be okay with it? Well, you have to get to a certain point internally to be okay with asking for what you want. This, as it may be surprising, may not, is very difficult for most of humanity. First, admitting what they want. Two, saying what they want. Three, being willing to stand in the consequences that come from making that known. So my fee setting, it's kind of ridiculous, actually. I went deep into all these complicated tactics, strategies for this and that, and I finally came back to the beginning, and I was like, it's this because that's what I say it is. And, I mean, I don't do it with an attitude, but, like, that's what it's going to be. If you want to work with me, that's great. Here's the fee. And so there's no trick. There was just a lot of work in before that that kind of led me to that conclusion. And I'm okay with it. They can say yes. They can say no. They can haggle. I can change it. I just saw there's an immense amount of freedom that comes with the slightest separation between the slightest freedom that comes with you being okay with saying what you want. That's the trick. All right. Next. Anybody else with questions? Raise your hand or submit one in the box. And one more word about the fee. I mean, I really do feel that's one fear that I have worked through well enough. I mean, I've got a lot of people that need me to keep resources coming. And I honestly have gotten to the point where I trust in me and I trust in the greater abundance of everything around me. And if this doesn't work out, something else will. And I truly believe that. And if that something else is me having a rough spot for a little while, well, then I'm going to grow from that too. And so all this really does come back to that radical being okay with what is. And getting rid of this stupid story we make up about what it means about us, other people, or anything. And this is, easiest to do with business. It's harder to do with the people you love and who love you. And it's hardest to do with yourself and the relationship you have with yourself. So that's kind of like the journey that I've taken, at least. And I'm kind of working on all levels, but more on the second and third, because there's always, you know, deeper to go with that. All right. Pashal, one more thing here. Okay, go ahead.
Man, this last thing that you told me is so much empowering. Honestly, this is huge, what you told right now, which is, I mean, nobody in this whole world that I've learned so much from has ever told about setting the fee. They always said, I mean, which is right from their point of view and mine too, which is, you know, understand how much it's costing them not to engage with you in this program and then charge that much. But like what you told right now is just ask for what you want. Don't care about basically, you know, how much it is valuable for them to you. This is what I want. If you want that, I mean, it's so empowering. So I just wanted to come back and just say thank you for opening my mind completely, because I'm in the middle of creating my first higher ticket program, 50K US. I was for the last few days, I was asking myself, since I made the decision 3 days ago for the 50K program, that how am I going to justify this to my market and all that? I'm going to justify it without an attitude that this is what I want. And that's my fee. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, sure. You're welcome. Good luck. Hey, Pamela.
Hi. How's Jason, how are you?
I'm good.
So great to be on the call with you.
Thanks for coming.
First is a comment and then a question.
Yeah.
The first comment is, I'm really, really grateful that you had mentioned that you do have that churning nervous feeling.
Yeah.
I do as well on many days get up, and some days just still don't even want to really live. Like, it can be that bad.
Yeah, sure.
So it's really, really, really empowering for you to hear that, because sometimes it feels very very alone and just a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it's not all of the truth. It just seems to be parts of the day sometimes. But sometimes I wake up and just feel, ugh. The other thing is working with clients and the work that I do, I'm finding that, especially going through this process with you now and I'm doing the presence process, I seem to be, I'm changing. I feel the ground moving. And I'm wondering how you manage the work that you do with clients. Like for me, as my awareness and the things that I'm learning and doing for myself become more and more and more, the course and the things that I want to do with the people, it seems to be more and more and more. So I'm kind of trying to figure out now, okay, so I've got this course in my head that I'm going to build out and we're working towards selling that. It feels like it's already changing. So I'm not sure what my question is exactly, but how do you, I'm growing so quickly that I seem to outgrow myself and maybe outgrow the course, or does it make sense kind of what I'm asking? Can you kind of hear what I'm saying?
Sure. I mean, I think in my experience, so you're operating under the, kind of the media platform setup, right? Which you're providing on a regular basis demonstrations of Pamela, right?
Yes.
And I'm doing the same thing. And because of that, I tend to attract people who are dealing with the exact same wounds, challenges, obstacles that I've dealt with. And so I have this leading edge that I'm at. And then immediately when I turn around, that's where the clients begin. And they might be all the way back to 6 years ago for me, right? But it is eerily bizarre how there is that consistency there. And so I think one of the challenges is, okay, given that I know that this is the journey, what is the most helpful way to split this up? Because frankly, I'm a little weird. Like if someone sets the fire to, you're never going to go through that because you're going to have to face all your darkest crap. Guess where I'm walking? I'm walking right in there. And most people won't.
Yeah.
That's okay. But like that's who I am. And I cannot bring people there because it will not be of service to most of them yet. And that's fine. So I think it's a real, like none of the journey that you've been through is invalidated by growth, right? Because there are still people that are no longer you that will be greatly served by that. And so perhaps one way to view it might be simply as a way to break up what is really a deep journey that you take people on into manageable pieces. And how can that look?
Yeah. I just feel like I'm changing so quickly, and I do, especially over the last year.
Yeah.
I can barely keep up with it myself.
Yeah.
So I'm just, and I'm like you, I walk right into the fire of it.
And
all
I also
the time.
Think that because serendipity is involved, eventually, when you get a moment to breathe and pick your head up above the craziness and look back, it all makes sense about how to use this now.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
It's deep. It's something really shifting for me. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is deep. That's a good, if there was a deeper word than deep, I would use it. But
yeah, I would use it. Yeah.
Deep indeed. Okay. Anything else?
Well, I'm just thinking that I haven't sold the coaching course yet. So I haven't attracted those clients yet.
Yeah.
So for me it feels like, you know, okay, I've got the course laid out. It's like, oh, I need to put this in there now. This is a really big piece of it. It's like, oh, yeah, because it's what I've learned and what's helped me. So I'm just wondering, and maybe it's something we can talk about next week, but the course itself, maybe I need to break it into more of the beginner's part of it, and then here's the next step of that, and here's the next step, because I have a feeling I might overwhelm people by, but I don't know who I'm going to attract.
Yeah.
Right, with regards to where they're at in their journey, if it's where I was 5 years ago, if that's where we need to start. So that's the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it really keeps me from building the course.
The more you do this, for lack of a better word, the more of your shit that you get together, it really requires a deep humility to then turn around and ask, how am I best of service to people that either haven't had the opportunities I have, haven't chosen to take them as I have, how can I still be helpful?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is about for me, is how can I be of service? How can this journey, because for me, that's the way I make sense of it all, is how can I make this be of service to someone else? Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's one of the big reasons why I exist, I think. It's just how can I make this easier for somebody else?
You know, take your spectrum of the development that you see these people go on and pick two or three, you know, points along the way, and then just ask yourself, well, maybe if this or that offering that I have, maybe it's just to move them one step farther on the journey. What would that look like then? Versus trying to take all the latest and greatest from Pamela and pack it in to this thing that ultimately will just not be where they're at yet.
Right. Okay, I'll sit with that.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions here before we sign off? All right, very good. Well, I thank you all for your time and attention and focus. As Pamela said, this is deep stuff, and really, I mean, not to like make us feel good about ourselves, but in my opinion, when you go down this route, it can feel extremely isolating, only because you're kind of doing work that isn't of interest to a lot of people, for whatever reason. It's certainly not easy, and so it is nice to every now and again remind yourself that, wow. Like, you are really sorting through some stuff that 95% of humanity just isn't going to deal with, you know. And so, just like you would be very gracious with a client or customer, it pays to give that to yourself, because the alternative, you know, isn't really helpful to anyone. So, all right, we have one more session next time. If you have questions, let me know. In the meantime, please do send in, again, the homework, which is 3 to 5, kind of the biggest issues where you give your power away, ideas you have for processes that can keep that from happening. So thank you, and I will see you next week at this time. Bye-bye.